This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 26th, 2025, the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, Sabbath.
Take a deep breath. What if I told you that there was a simple practice that has the power to save your life from the insanity of this world's noise and hurry? We've been talking about hurry for a couple weeks now, okay? That this practice can save marriages, family relationships, friendships from atrophying. That this practice has been proven by research to improve physical and mental health. That one study even found communities which consistently uphold this practice lived on average 10 years longer than surrounding populations. What if I told you that this simple practice is a core commandment in the scriptures, seen at key moments in the Old Testament and in the life of Jesus? What if I told you that the Bible says this practice is built on a rhythm that was woven into the fabric of creation? What if I told you that this practice is one of the most blatantly ignored spiritual disciplines in the modern Western church? You probably guessed by now what we're talking about because you saw the title of the message. Anybody? Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom, right? This spiritual discipline is built on something that apparently God established at the beginning of creation. It's the only one of the Ten Commandments that is directly linked with the creation of the world. So here's our scripture for today from the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. It says in the New International Version, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." With that, let's stop and say a prayer. God, we are weak, but you are strong. Today, Lord, fill us with the power of your word. Let these words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. May the power of your living word, the power of your gospel, the power of your presence reach us right where we need it and transform our lives for your kingdom and your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's people say, amen. A guy named J.D. Walt wrote a poem about Sabbath, and it goes like this. Breathe. Rest in rest. Holy leisure, airtight time. Sabbath. Hearing ears, creation slowing, open eyes, Sabbath. Guiltless feasting, sacred rhythms, heaven hugging, Sabbath. Nothing doing, nowhere going, work unknowing, Sabbath. Sounds pretty awesome. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? But if you are anything like me, you don't necessarily think of that when you hear the word Sabbath. I used to think of Sabbath as kind of a dry, boring, legalistic kind of thing, like for a bygone era, like my grandparents and their parents sort of talking about, oh, remember the days and everything was closed on Sunday, and I'm like, I don't live in that world anymore. To actually practice the Sabbath seemed on par with becoming like Amish or Mennonite. Like, you know, cut off all the electricity. It's like, kind of sounds like it'd be nice, but just not realistic. Like, I don't think I could ever do that. And then two things happened in my life. First, I became an adult and life got complicated. And I flirted with burnout for so long that I was forced to rethink. I talked about this a few weeks ago. Just forced to rethink how I structured my life and how God actually wanted me to live. Second, I began to study Scripture more deeply and realized how profound and life-giving the biblical principle of Sabbath really is. Powerful stuff. And then so for the last 10 years or so, like a kid learning to ride a bike with training wheels, wobbling down the sidewalk, I and my family have gradually, painstakingly tried to learn how to prioritize and enjoy Sabbath in a, you know, occupation and a lifestyle that is not always easy to do, and I'm sure you can relate. Today, many Christians, I used to be one of them, make excuses and justifications for why we don't really need to do this anymore. And the most common one is something like this. You know, that was an Old Testament thing. We live in the New Testament. The Israelites, they lived under the law, but Jesus fulfilled the law, so we don't have to. And of course, there's truth in that. But I wonder if we really understand what that means. I wonder if we really understand what it means to be in the fulfillment of the law. You know, the Sabbath is number 4 of the 10 commandments. Number 4. What if we took this same approach with the other 9 commandments? Well, think about that a second. Idolatry, honoring your parents, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, coveting. Like, how would our lives go if we treated the other commandments of the 10 commandments like we treat Sabbath? This is how I started to realize that maybe I was ignoring God's command to rest at my own peril. And maybe that applies to our whole society. Because there was a day when this was part of the fabric of Western civilization for centuries. Maybe what I thought was gaining by having a greater sense of, you know, freedom and liberty to kind of do what I wanted with my time and schedule based on all the commitments I had, maybe what I thought I was gaining, I was actually losing by ignoring God's wisdom. Why is it so hard for us to follow God's command to rest? Why is that so hard for us? I mean, stop and think about how crazy it is for a second that God has to literally command his people to rest. How crazy is that? Like, shouldn't that be like an invitation? Like, sure, that sounds great, Lord. He has to command it. What's wrong with us? What's our problem? One of the reasons has to do with a peculiar fact of human nature, which Scripture and poets and philosophers and songwriters have observed through the ages. It's the fact that the desires of the human heart are infinite. We have within us this unrelenting sense of desire that no matter how much we get, like we never seem to be fully satisfied. Just one more, one more, one more. Ecclesiastes says in chapter 3, verse 11, he has planted eternity in the human heart. Augustine, all those centuries ago, he said, our song was kind of about this today, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord. Catch this. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. More recently, a guy we've been quoting a lot in this series, Dallas Willard, he put it this way, and I think this is really, really insightful. He says, desire is infinite partly because we were made by God, made for God, made to need God, and made to run on God. We can be satisfied only by the one who is infinite, eternal, and able to supply all our needs. We are only at home in God. When we fall away from God, the desire for the infinite remains, listen to this, but it is displaced upon things, other things, all kinds of things, that will certainly lead to destruction. A lot of wisdom in that one paragraph. And so into this fallen world of endless striving, you see it, you experience it, endless cycles of scratching the itch until we bleed, never stopping, never resting, never being fully satisfied, even after we get the thing we want, God gives this simple commandment to his people. Stop. Just stop. For crying out loud, stop. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. It literally means to stop. Stop working, stop worrying, stop wanting, just stop. And rest, delight, worship one day every seven. One out of every 7 days. Let that be the rhythm of your life. Let your life be built on the rhythm of redemption. 6 days shall you labor, the seventh is the Lord's. Creation, we read about in the very beginning, culminated with this blessed, holy, set-apart day of rest and enjoyment. The very first humans didn't work for rest. They worked from rest, delighting in the Creator and his good works. We think of it as something that's being taken away from us, but God's really just saying, stop for a minute and enjoy. Just enjoy. I'm giving this gift to you, giving all this creation to you, giving my presence to you. Enjoy. Here's what we got to get, or we miss the point. In commanding us to rest from our labors, God is inviting us to enjoy his goodness. And it's incredibly insightful when you look at the key places where the Sabbath command is given throughout the Old Testament. When I first grasped this, it impacted me so much. You know, the Ten Commandments were shared at two important parts of the Torah. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. It's not just one point, but there's two different places in the Torah where the Ten Commandments are shared. And it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that comes with an explanation. All the other commands are just kind of given, but this one, it's the longest one, and it comes with an explanation both times. The first time the Ten Commandments are given, you probably know this part of the story. The Israelites had just been freed from their captivity in Egypt, and they're gathered at the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the law of God, make this covenant to be his holy people. And so the explanation for the Sabbath in this part of the Ten Commandments when it's given is this, Exodus 20. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so, Sabbath points us back to the beginning, to God's creation of all things when everything was whole and good. Points us back to the beginning. All right, but 40 years later, maybe you know some of the story that happens, like the Israelites, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And so when you get to the book of Deuteronomy, They're right on the edge of finally entering the promised land. And Moses kind of takes this big teaching, this big sermon to remind them of all that God had done and who they were. And so he once again shares the Ten Commandments with them. But what's interesting is that this time when the Ten Commandments are shared, there's another explanation given to the Sabbath command. So listen to this in Deuteronomy 5. This time it says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So Sabbath also reminds us of what God has done to redeem his people. It's this regular reminder that God has set me free. I am not a slave anymore. I'm free, right? Because of my God and Savior. Fast forward to the New Testament. Did you know that according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus began his public ministry on the Sabbath? And when he died for our sins, for the redemption of the world, it was on the Sabbath day that his body rested in the tomb. And on the first day of the week, the very next day, he rose from the dead. By the way, that's why Christians began to celebrate the Sabbath on Sunday instead of Saturday, because they were remembering the ultimate exodus, the ultimate redemption when Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? And you look at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and this is what it says about the Sabbath. It says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." In other words, one that is still coming, an ultimate rest that is still to come. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." And so get this, Sabbath points us back to the beginning, to remember what we were made for, and to remember what God has done to save us, his mighty acts of salvation. But it also points us forward, points us backwards and forwards. It points us forward to when Christ is going to return to restore the ultimate true rest for all creation. That, as Paul said in his prayer, all creation is longing and groaning for that, right? So it's rooting us in the past and what God has done and what we're made for, and it's also giving us this anchor in the hope of where we're headed to. It's a rhythm of redemption in our lives. So we can think of it like this. Let's put it this way. Sabbath reminds us that we were made for Eden. Sabbath reminds us that we were rescued from Egypt. In the bigger sense, in the larger sense, you know, rescued from the slavery to sin and the slavery to the world's evil ways. And Sabbath reminds us that every day we're getting closer to the day when Jesus returns for the restoration of all things. That's pretty awesome. What a way to live that would be, to be a people who are constantly renewing and remembering this gift of who we are, why we're here, and where we're headed. What a blessing to be the people of God. Amen. Jesus said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he said, as he was arguing with some Pharisees that were kind of legalistic about it and missing the point, he said that man was not made for the Sabbath was made for man. And so it's not about a lifeless, legalistic observance of the letter of the law. It's about a joyful obedience to the intention of the law. Stop, rest, delight in God's good gifts. In a 24/7, always-on world that is tearing at the seams, we have the choice. We can choose to live a holy, set-apart 24/6 life in a 24/7 world. And if we do this challenging, sacrificial, yet ever so simple thing, it could change everything. As one teacher said, those who practice Sabbath live the other 6 days differently. Or in the words of the 19th century South African pastor Andrew Murray, I love this, God is willing to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. I need the Sabbath to remind me that the world does not revolve around me, that the world does not depend on me, that there's somebody else who carries it, and I'm just blessed to serve with him. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. And this is the heart of the 24/6 life, and the secret to remembering how to really live. But how? How, we ask. Like, maybe that's the question in your heart, because often it's the question in my heart. It's like, how, Lord? There's just constantly things that invade and interrupt that and make it so difficult in today's age to really keep this and enjoy this. Like, I might want it, but I might feel just helpless sometimes, and hopeless by the fact that it seems like that schedule's just never going to be possible for me. I understand how you feel. I understand. And so I would say this to every single person here, whether this is something that you live in and enjoy, or it's something that you long for and struggle with, or it's something you haven't even thought about before, I would say this to every person here. One step at a time. One week at a time. Try something this week. Keep practicing. Keep growing. Try something different. Let this become a value you hold that gradually, consistently alters the decisions you make and the priorities you set and the way you live. If this becomes a value you hold and your family holds, you will begin to think differently about the way you structure the year, the way you say yes to certain things, no to certain things, the way you guard and protect certain things. Let this be a value you hold, and just practice trying something different than what you've normally done. Sometimes you're in a season where a full day just doesn't seem possible. So try this. Choose a half day. Choose a period of time that you're just going to guard as sacred. And there might be a time where you have to pick a different time each week where you're going, I don't think it's going to be Sunday this week, but you know what? I'm going to intentionally put on my calendar this space right here, and I'm going to call it a Sabbath rest to the Lord. Take one complete evening where you shut down, disconnect. Try taking a Sabbath hour with your family and just going, hey guys, tonight, this next hour is sacred time. We're getting off the screens, we're getting away the distractions, and we're just going to share this meal together, or we're just going to sit together in the living room and talk about our week and read a verse of scripture and just pray and share and enjoy. We're gonna make some chocolate chip cookies, and we're just gonna feast. Like, I don't care what it looks like. Try something to get out of that pace of the world's 24/7 and make sacred time for God, and just build on it. Build on it. Matthew Salith wrote a book called 24/6, and actually at my previous church, we preached an entire sermon series on this book, a whole sermon series on the Sabbath. And if this stirs within you, I'd recommend just go get this book. It's called 24/6 by Dr. Matthew Salith. 24/6, I think it's called The Prescription for a Healthier, Happier Life. But he said that there are three R's to practicing the Sabbath. The three R's are rest, renewal, and reverence. So rest from your work, find renewal, physically, spiritually, relationally, practice holy reverence with God. So just try things like this with your whole family or with some friends or on your own. Here's some ideas, you know, plan ahead and be intentional about it. Put it on your calendar. And when somebody says, hey, could you do that? You say, oh, I'm sorry, my calendar's full that day. I have an appointment. I have an appointment with God. You know what I mean? Just put it on, be intentional. Practice saying no. Practice saying no to some good things so you can say yes to God's best things. Eat meals together. Sit down. Enjoy a meal. Worship together, not just in church, but like in your home. Worship together. Here's the one I love. Pleasure stack. You ever heard of pleasure stacking? This Sabbath day, I'm going to do all the things that I love most and worship God. How awesome does that sound? You could do that once a week. Do some amazing things together. Just enjoy. It could even be, you know, the simplest things. Turn off screens. Get off technology for a time. Maybe stay inside. Don't leave the house for a day. Or get outside. Enjoy creation. Right? Try not to shop for a day. No spending today. No shopping. Just chilling out. Unless that is your pleasure stacking. Then I don't know. We can talk about it. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Throwing you a bone here. These are just some ideas. it most likely won't happen easily or automatically, but be intentional and lean on the grace of God to help you live into His best for your life. That's what this is about. Whenever God gives us a commandment, it's always for our good and His glory. Get that. When God gives us a command, it's for our good and His glory. We can trust Him with this. If you want to unhurry your life and live into more of the abundant life Jesus saved you for, begin to learn and embrace and practice the principle of Sabbath. It won't save your soul. Jesus already took care of that. But it might save your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath and you give us rest and delight. You give us good work to do, but you also give us the chance to abide in you. So we thank you and we praise you and we love you today. And I just pray, God, that you would stir within us a holy yearning, even a holy discontent to no longer feel like we have to follow the script of this world's 24/7 pace, because that is not your pace. Help us to become more of a holy, set apart 24/6 people who realize that there's always enough. And we don't have to hurry. And we have a Father in heaven who takes care of us. Help us to walk in the easy yoke of Jesus and live at the rhythm of redemption. It's in your holy name we pray and we worship you today, God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life He offers.